The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Motor Bunny, the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator that offers fabulous creative sexual experiences. We use it and it rotates, it vibrates, and it delivers mind-blowing orgasms. Enjoy Motor Bunny as your favorite sex toy. When you order the Motor Bunny, multiple attachments are included along with the Link controller, which allows wireless control from anywhere. Motor Bunny is the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator on Earth. Use the link in the show notes and spice up your sex life with a Motor Bunny. You're listening to Kinky Cocktail Hour, a conversation between adults about sex-forward relationships, kinky lifestyles, and frank communication. If you're under 18, please stop listening and visit scarletteen.com. I'm Lady Petra. My pronouns are she, her, and hers.
I'm Sapphire Master. My pronouns are him, his, and he.
And this is Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Cheers! Cheers! So what are we drinking today?
We are drinking a smoked black Manhattan.
Wow.
And it's interesting because this is gonna sound funny. Smell my finger.
It's smoky.
Yeah. And I love that smell. Since I don't have a cloche and an actual smoking gun.
Yeah.
But that's another bar tool we're going to need to get.
I can tell.
And I don't really want to start a fire in our apartment with cedar chips and stuff. You can cheat and use liquid smoke.
Oh.
And just add so many drops to get the same effect of smoke in a cocktail. Yeah. Now, the actual smoke, when you do the cloche glass and things, is really great because you get the visual as well as the smoke.
Yes.
And part of experiencing anything with, you know, gastronomy kind of thing is that your eyes see the food first and they enjoy the food, and then your nose and then your palate.
Yes.
And it all works together, so it does intensify it. But this will be fun. So this has 2 ounces of bourbon. I used bourbon whiskey from Woodinville.
Okay.
This time. And then 3/4 of an ounce of the Amaro Melli.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm highlighting the Highside Distillery a recipe today. And then, of course, our Luxor Cherry, and then 4 to 6 drops of liquid smoke.
So it's basically bourbon and Amaro Melli and smoke.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stirred with the cherry. Right. So I've never had it, so we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm surprised. I smell the smoke, but I don't taste it.
Okay.
Do you?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit.
You know, I don't know that it would be any more smoke if you put a cloche over it with a smoking gun, because it's only the surface that gets smoked.
Right.
You know, but so I get the aroma.
Do you smell it when you smell it close?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, see, I do smell it. You know what I get of the smoke is that back part of your throat.
A little bit. You know, when we have like mezcals that are smoky.
Yes.
You taste the smoke in the mezcal.
Yeah.
You don't get that here.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Now, I was, you know, I don't have a dropper. It's another tool I need. I poured the smoke into a little glass and got my finger saturated and then waited till a drop came off my finger.
I see.
And added enough of those drops. I went heavier. I went to 6 drops for each cocktail.
I see.
With a dropper, you're going to get a much larger drop.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, they're measured, but I can tell the size of the drop coming off my finger compared to what a dropper would do is different.
Yeah.
However, it's scary when you use smoke. You don't want to add too much because then
it's
too much.
Right.
So I'd rather go lighter knowing that if I have the right tool, it might add more of a flavor to
that.
Yeah. But it's fascinating because a lot of times the Manhattan has the sweet vermouth in it.
Mm.
And it has, sometimes, depending on the recipe, you're using bitters.
Yeah.
And what they've done instead is they use a bourbon because it's sweeter.
Yeah.
Versus just a whiskey, a straight whiskey. And the Amaro Melli is so bitter, you know, that that's the contrast that they're going for.
Right. You don't need to add any more bitters.
It's got a lot of botanical aromatics. So I think it's supposed to play off of the smoke.
Well, it's a balanced drink. It's lovely.
But it's kind of neat. The smoke bottle that I got was the barbecue guy that we get, the Stubbs barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It's his smoke, and it's in the same size as our bitters bottle.
Interesting.
So it's very much a bar thing. I mean, I'm sure if we need it for cooking, we can use it. But I mean, from what I hear too, and this is another thing for you to consider, because we did buy those fancy bitters, is bitters are used in cooking a lot.
Yeah.
And we have some pretty neat Asian bitters in there.
I know. When I grew up, my dad used to make prawns with Angostura bitters.
Yeah. Well, we have Chinese five spice and a
Yeah.
Thai one in there.
That'll be worth playing with.
I think that'll be with shrimp. That would,
For example.
or even scallops. That would be
Yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah. Well, good drink. Well,
It's definitely a big person drink.
yes.
This is not a little person drink.
No. No, this is an adult drink. You need a license to drink this drink.
Yes, you do. I feel like I should be in a leather bound. I feel like this is a drink I would have at Tavern Law,
Yeah.
which is a local speakeasy for us in Seattle. And it's great because it's kind of like a mini law library downstairs
Right.
and faux books and all these,
Yeah,
things.
and
And
it's
then
like a
it's,
restaurant, and they've got a decent bar
they definitely
downstairs.
do.
And if you're in there and you don't know about the speakeasy upstairs,
Yeah, you don't know it.
then you don't know that
You
it's
don't know it at
there.
all because it's a reclaimed building too. It was a
Yeah.
bank at one point, so there's a vault and stuff. So
Yeah.
people,
So what you see when you're eating there, you see people going off and picking up this phone on the wall,
this really old
an
phone.
old phone, and you don't really know what's happening, and then every once in a while you see people disappear through this
Like
door.
this door
Yeah,
into
you don't know.
nowhere.
Yeah. And the first time I went there, I didn't know what it was, so I asked if I could go up. They said, no, you have to call. So I called, and they said, no, they're having a private party. So I tried for years to get up there,
And we got
and we
in.
got in almost right away. That was unusual.
The first time you took me there.
First time I got in.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think because of all the things we went through that evening, which in hindsight, it wasn't that big of a deal, but
No.
they're very highly service oriented there.
Yes.
They very much cater to their clients. And
Yeah.
so we were happened to be sitting at the edge of a bar waiting for a real bar seat. Thinking we would have something to eat or just drinks, but we wanted to be at the bar because we wanted to watch the bartenders. Because that was just my beginning of my journey of like exploring mixology,
Yeah.
like starting to really pay attention. And we got sidebarred at this stand-up bar area by these
By the
people came
service.
in that really drunk,
Yeah.
and this girl that was really just falling over drunk. And I don't know if they bumped us or what. It was not a big deal. Like, I don't feel like anything was major. They were kind of encroaching us, but she was extremely drunk.
I remember that, right.
And so then they basically at some point asked them to leave and then asked if we were doing okay and found us two seats at the bar right away and kind of catered to us a little bit
Right.
and apologized and stuff. And so we told our server, hey, we'd really like to actually go upstairs.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if it would work. And then they told me to go make a call and they kind of told me what to do.
Right.
Shortly after, we were escorted back up.
Yeah. And what's cool about that, you get upstairs, it's kind of this tiny little bar
Yeah.
with some big easy chairs to sit in
Yeah.
and
It's
little.
very NOLA-like, white,
Yeah. And the bartenders are cool. The woman who helped us was this tattooed girl, and
Totally.
you don't ask for a drink. She says, "What flavor do you have in mind?
She
What
asks you
alcohol?" She asked you a bunch of
a bunch of
questions.
questions.
Right. And I was like, "Well, I like gin and I like bitters and I like this and that." She goes, "Okay, what about you?" And you say whatever you said. And then you don't know what you're going to get, and then
They just
they
make it
present you
up.
a drink, and it's delicious because
It's and
those
it's
mixologists
totally
are
made up
fantastic.
right then.
Right.
It's not like there's really a recipe. They're just making it up. And so like I don't remember what you got.
I didn't
It was a
either.
gin-based something.
Something gin, yeah.
It's really good. And then I got a something called a witch's brew that came in kind of a cauldron pot because I talked about absinthe.
Yeah.
It was smoking and things. And then
Right.
meanwhile, we're sitting there and we're watching people get like one person got a whiskey smoked, but what they smoked it with was a cigar,
Right.
which like a really nice smelling because I could smell it.
Right.
Cigar they lit. The bartender smokes it for a second to get
Yeah.
it going, puts it under, fills the whole thing with smoke, and then
Right.
closhes it off. And then they go take it to a table kind of near us.
Yeah.
And then you just see the whole thing of them opening it up and the cigar smoke and
Yeah.
with the scotch whisk.
So
Just a
it was quite fun.
dramatic.
I miss being able to go to places like that. I'm excited that
I'm
people are going
excited
to
when we
get
can again.
vaccinated and normalcy. I'm excited for that. I
I
mean, I
it
don't
should be a
mind.
motivator for people, don't you think?
I don't mind that we've been isolated together because we've gotten to hang out and have, great drinks and great sex and do the podcast, and
Yeah.
we've gotten to just live like a fantasy life.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
I would rather be able to go out.
Well, you're right. And be with other humans.
Well, you know that's what I mean? Thing. You know, what's missing is community.
Yes.
We get away from that. We do better as human beings in community.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you think about your communities. You have a little community at work, and you have a little community of friends you meet at the store or at the bar. Or, there's just a whole bunch of community missing. You related a story the other night that I thought was interesting where you talked about what's life like for that guy who doesn't have a TV, who lives alone, whose kickback is to go down to the pub and watch the game with his friends. That's gone.
I think that's a reality. I was just kind of reflecting on living in a city, what that means for people, because we've noticed, because we're having to move, is that a lot of spaces where humans live are 500 to 800 square feet. I mean, that's a very small
location.
Bedroom location, you know? And you think about, and when people make choices about their life, like what's necessary to have in their life and what's necessary to give them fullness of life, a lot of people make accommodations on that. So they may not have a TV. Let's just say, I'm not saying everybody's like this, but they may not have a TV because they're like, I'm working all the time and doing all these other things. I wouldn't really watch it anyway.
What I want to watch, I can watch on my computer.
Right. And so what they do then is then when they want community, they want to go to the local pub and watch soccer or something with a group of people because that's what's fun. But that's not happening now. So you think about how it has made people's worlds completely shrunk way down.
Yeah. And I think that the challenge we have is that we haven't had leadership that has like created a context for getting this under control.
Right.
I saw a photograph on Twitter today that said, just by the way, this is Australia right now. And it was a full stadium of fans. Like at a football game. Because they've had a government that has made controlling the pandemic a priority. And so that's one of the things I'm excited about coming up in the new year is an administration that's going to have a first agenda to get the pandemic under control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of challenges. You know, there's still 300 million people in the country who haven't been vaccinated. Well, so there's a lot of challenges. You got to get somebody.
Amount. It's a slow rollout right now.
It is. You got to get somebody on a supply chain. You got to get people delivering vaccines to doctors. You got to get people in to see doctors.
Well, this is what's amazing too. I've been vaccinated because I work in a situation where I'm part of government.
Right.
So I get to do that. But I went to my dentist yesterday and found, and he said there's been a few people here and there that came in vaccinated. I said, well, by the way, I have been. And he goes, oh my goodness. And he's a dentist working, but because he's not attached to a hospital.
Right.
Because hospitals are the gatekeepers of everything and they get first
priority.
Well,
you know, they're dealing with acute COVID cases.
Totally makes sense.
I noticed on Facebook today, a former employee of mine,
who's
now a medical assistant, posted that she got vaccinated at Swedish.
Yep.
And she said, now we can go back to the fight with some confidence.
Yes.
You know?
And yes, totally.
So there's... I'm just excited. This podcast will fall right after the New Year. So happy, hopefully you had a happy New Year's Eve.
Yeah, hopefully.
But happy New Year to our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
And we hope that we get a chance to actually meet you in person this year.
Yeah, we'd really like
Because it is
like
our
that.
Intention in 2021 to bring the Kinky Cocktail Hour on the road.
Yeah.
That's our intention.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everybody.
To everybody. Actually, I'm excited about this conversation because... we have a Motor Bunny.
Yes, we do. We
and
do.
You're a Motor Bunny bunny.
Well, I'll just tell you, I've done research.
You have done research, and we'll talk about that. And, you know, it's quite an amazing instrument. I've posted a few videos on FetLife that are titled, Does the Motor Bunny Make Her Come? And then you just watch, like, women coming like crazy. One of them's a view. So we're really lucky today because we have Craig, who's the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer at Motor Bunny.
Awesome.
To share with us what's coming up in the world of Motor Bunny. So Craig, welcome to the conversation.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me.
Craig, we ordinarily begin this conversation by inviting you to share your journey in kink. But since you're not necessarily a kinkster, you can tell us if you are. We're going to ask you to share the Motor Bunny journey. So why don't you bring us up to speed about where Motor Bunny came from, how it got started, and how it ends up being one of the great sex toys of the generation.
Our origin story is basically one of escaping corporate monotony. Two brothers, Caleb and Brooks, who were working at multinational corporations and were basically living in conference room meetings for years, decided that they were going to flee that situation and were looking for a niche that was being underserved. So they did some research. They initially wanted to get into leasing expensive medical equipment to rural hospitals and the such that didn't have really big budgets, but there was a lot of red tape around that. So they went back to the drawing board and they looked at other industries to find the sweet spot, something that would A, increase the quality of life for people, and B, was being underserved or poorly served. So they eventually stumbled on this, you know, the sex toy industry, and they saw quickly that the saddle style product didn't have a whole lot of competition in it. The competition that was there had a very rigid outlook on the category. They clearly communicated their lack of enthusiasm for innovation and generally cooperation with others in the industry. And Brooks and Caleb said, we think we can do this better. And this was just over 6 years ago, and Motor Bunny was born. And they've been in the market for about 5 years now, and things are going well with that.
So did they, I'm sure they did, get an engineer to help design this, or did they have an idea, or how did they come up with what we see as the Motor Bunny now?
The basic design of the Motor Bunny follows the tried and true ride on top saddle style vibrator. It's not patented, that technology, but they saw that there was a lot of potential in the future. So they did get a team of engineers to work on how the Motor Bunny model was going to work with respect to the competition. They're both very similar. They're both extremely powerful. The differences that we heard from customers of the competitors, that they'd like it to be a little more powerful, and they'd like to not be told in such rigid terms of how to use it and who should use it and when. So we didn't invent the wheel, but we put some rims on it, we made it ride smoother, and we made it much less expensive to purchase.
So my next question would be, after my research, is were there women engineers on this group that designed it?
There were not women engineers on the team, but we had a lot of testers who were eager to share their feedback. And we thought that that was more important to the final experience that customers were having.
You know, one of the things that I'm aware of, because I have a healthcare background, is that all the women that I've ever encountered, and I've had sex with hundreds of women, maybe even 1,000, I don't know, none of them look the same. Their vaginas are shaped differently. They have different sizes of everything. They have different angles. They're different proximity between the vaginal opening and the anus, for example. And so I wonder, like, what the strategy was by Motor Bunny to make it flexible for the complete, huge, enormous range of women that are out there?
That's a very good question. Our strategy was to grow an ecosystem of attachments and accessories that would make it into the most flexible and versatile machine on the market. That includes risers that will bring attachments up in the front to varying levels for people with higher clitoris, and multitudes of attachments that vary in girth and length for G-spot stimulation. It's interesting that you mentioned the diversity of experiences and body types that women have, but one of the differentiators for Motor Bunny is that we don't dictate who should ride it. We like to say, I guess, that it would be strange to develop a sports car and say that only women can drive it. It's a very powerful tool. And in the end, we think there are uses for everybody. So we have attachments that are male-focused. They're for penis insertion or for P-spot stimulation. We don't think it should be limited for everybody. This is especially good for couples who like to share their toys.
That's actually a very good point. I will admit that I've never actually ridden the Motor Bunny.
Exactly.
I think my prostate has some work to do.
So I definitely have some input from all my research. And there's an attachment we have that is actually looks like a straight dildo. It's not penis looking. It's just a straight tube that goes up with a ball on the end. And fascinating when I see it as a woman, because I think, oh, the ball is definitely going to touch my G-spot. However, the G-spot is very low and kind of forward in the vagina. So
especially in your case.
In my case, but generally in women, I mean, that's how you finger the G-spot, basically. When a man uses fingers, it's only as long as his fingers, right, and he's fingering the G-spot. So what I see is that's more of a, I'll just say how I feel when I get on it. It's a cervical stimulator, which for most women, cervical stimulation is not the greatest thing ever. It's like bumping naughties and to a point where you can only take so much. So I played with your devices and I was fascinated. You have a smaller device. It's really short and you can also put attachments on it, like a faux shorter penis on it, which is fantastic because it allows you to feel the twirl on the G-spot and it allows you to increase the buzz so that you're also getting clitoral stimulation. So because most women's G-spots are angled forward, has there been like engineering considerations on, you know, you have to insert it first, but you have to get it to angle towards the G-spot.
So depth and angle.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Thanks for sharing that. I think you're referring to the silicone attachment that is called the Lolly. And like you said, everybody has a different body type. Everybody has a different set of needs and stimulation response. So all of our innovation is driven by customer feedback, which in this case is why we developed a much shorter version of the Lolly. We call it the Lil Lolly, and it is about the length of a, you know, your ring finger. And we've gotten a tremendous response to that as far as being able to divert the power of the attachment towards the front wall where the G-spot is. That's one reason that we've developed Motor Bunny Link technology. And what Motor Bunny Link technology allows you to do is, A, wirelessly control the unit, but it also allows you to reverse the rotation from clockwise to counterclockwise, which is impossible to do on any other similar machine. And there are routines which will keep the rotation towards the front of that wall in order to make sure that all of the activity is harnessed towards the G-spot.
That sounds actually quite interesting.
That's fascinating.
We don't have one of those.
We don't have one of those. We need one of those.
I will send you one.
Yay!
Please do. Okay, so the other question I have, and I understand that there's flexibility in the... So let me back up. Why don't you just tell our listeners what the parameters are of the Motor Bunny so that it got two effective parameters. One is it twirls. So the penis or the insert twirls, and the other is that it vibrates. So talk about those distinctions, and then I'll come back with a question.
Sure. We call ours buzz and twirl because we like to avoid clinical terms like rotation and vibration. We have a more fun approach to introducing those sensations to our customers. The buzz is exactly what it sounds like. It vibrates. It travels up from the platform where the attachment connects to the device and upwards through a penetrative or non-penetrative attachment. And the twirl does exactly what it sounds like. It rotates in 360 degrees and stimulates the internal of the vagina. You nailed it.
What are some of the vibration speeds or the buzz speeds, frequencies, and the twirl rotation?
The rotation RPM gets up to 160 rotations per minute. The vibrations get up to 7,000 RPM. So we say ours goes all the way to 11 because it's the most powerful device on the market, and it does pack quite a punch. There's a 0.4 horsepower motor that powers all of this. So it's not necessarily for the faint of heart. It's also not for those looking for a discreet get-off session. It sounds about as loud as a blender when it's turned up all the way. So we like to tell our customers, you might want to tell your neighbors that you're making margaritas for the afternoon.
Continuously for 45 minutes. Yeah. You're making margaritas for 45 minutes continuously.
Plus screaming.
You're really thirsty.
So as someone who likes to use the Motor Bunny, I also enjoy the Hitachi because of the high vibration power. So is there been discussion about comparative to the Motor Bunny's vibration buzz compared to the Hitachi?
No, there hasn't. It's really interesting. We maybe should make a comparison of that to help our customers make an informed decision. In the end, we want everybody to own one of everything because all of these experiences are valuable to have. And what works on a Tuesday may not work for you on a Thursday.
What you just said there is like gold.
So true, yeah.
It's so true because I think it would be worth exploring because people in line for Motor Bunny all have Hitachis. I mean, that's usually where they're at.
There's a reason it's the most popular sex toy in history.
Craig, you talked a little bit about the remote tool. Tell us more about that. So what does that offer a user like us who doesn't have one?
Our mission is to enhance sexually creative experiences. And while you can do plenty, you know, with the Motor Bunny original and the manual controls, there's a lot left on the table in terms of what's possible and how you can control and manage this device. Wireless Link, for instance, it gives you manual control with sliders instead of, you know, twisty knobs. But it also comes with pre-programmed routines for buzz and twirl that would be impossible to replicate with human hands. That is in the frequency and intensity of both the vibration and the twirl function. It also allows you to draw out your own routines and save them for later use if they happen to hit the right buttons on a Tuesday. It allows you to sync your ride to music. These are popular for club use. It allows you to use Siri commands. A lot of our customers have said that they're really grateful for the increased accessibility that wireless control brings to them. People who would otherwise be unable to fully enjoy the Motor Bunny due to physical health issues. The most important, or the most exciting, I guess, aspect of Motor Bunny Link Control is seamless wireless remote control. With a tap of a button, you can send consent and control for your Motor Bunny unit to someone halfway across the world. They don't need an app. It just pops up automatically. You can end the session whenever you like. This has been popular with cam performers, long-distance relationships, of course, deployed military personnel, and pretty much anybody who is not lucky enough to share the same room with that person who they want to connect with most. Especially in times like these, it's important to give people all the tools they need to have a meaningful connection with others.
Wow.
I mean, Craig, this is like, I'm really struck with how valuable this
during COVID.
During COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know the vaccine's being released, but it's slow in being released and it will be tiered. And the reality is we're all looking towards next winter as still being at least that long, still being in our circumstances. And Motor Bunny is providing a way for people still to have connection and community.
Intimate connection.
Yeah, which is like our podcast guests have been talking to us and sharing their struggles with being isolated.
It's very cool. Very cool technology.
Thanks. We think so. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. How we communicate, how we work, how we connect with others has been changed so completely. And when the vaccine is at full efficacy, there's no guarantee that we fall back on our old patterns and behaviors. It might be that the way we stay in touch with each other and the way that we facilitate our relationships has been changed fundamentally forever.
No, that's not inconceivable. This might only be the first virus coming from China.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot to be gained through remote connection. Completely off the subject, we just recently had a family funeral where the family connected from all over the world with the leader of the funeral. And it was really quite a profound experience to connect with people in
virtually.
That way, virtually. And it made me realize in a way that I hadn't really realized the value of being able to connect with your friends and family in a way that supported them emotionally at the moment. And so what you've just described, getting back to Motor Bunny, what you've just described is a way to connect with somebody intimately from a distance.
That's
in,
huge.
In a way that is completely new and interesting.
It's huge because what we've heard over and over again is
yeah.
people's isolation.
Right. And we're still continuing to develop tools that will give them multiple creative experiences and options from afar. Motor Bunny Link technology also allows mobile gaming integrations. So if you are climbing the walls at home in quarantine, You could download, say, Fappy Bunny, which is a simple game, much like Flappy Bird, which was so popular a few years ago. You just tap the screen. It automatically connects with your Motor Bunny, and as you're riding, the machine responds to the gameplay. We think there are tons of experiences, new things that we could bring to the table in the industry on this forefront. The age of the formal orgasm is coming to a close. So in addition to that, there's a slew of other games in progress. We think it's possible to activate different neural pleasure centers at once, and by giving people a more playful, you know, entrance into what could be a very intimidating product category, we're giving them permission to hop on something that they might not have considered before.
That's amazing, because you're hitting the mark right now.
Mind blown.
It's mind blown. Yeah. So I was joking with Saffer as you were talking, saying, well, do they do it for like cooks, like people that are cooking? But then one thing came to mind when you talked about music interplay, and they do this in clubs a lot with lighting, where the lighting will electronically activate with the music that's being played. So it syncs up basically. And that's what becomes almost
hypnotic
for the dancers. So has Motor Bunny created some technology around, like, let's say you sync it with your music and then the Motor Bunny reacts somehow with the music that's being played?
Absolutely. That's one of the fundamental features of Motor Bunny Link. You just click on sync to music, and then you select a track on your device for it to react to. Or you can enable the microphone and allow the in-room music to take control. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with streaming services like Spotify or Pandora. But if you've got music that you're listening to, Motor Bunny will dance along.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you're facing with that streaming relationship?
Because a lot of people are streaming music now.
Yeah.
to be honest, it's on about our 100th thing on our list of improvements to make. It's on our list. Right now, the challengers are based on licensing of the music. You know, as you know, you post something on YouTube, there are bots that really don't like you enjoying this music in a free way. But we're sure there's a workaround, and we'll get to it. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll be the first to know.
Ooh,
that's great. So two things. So first, share your newsletter so people can subscribe.
If you go to motorbunny.com, there are multiple opportunities to throw in your email, and then you'll know when new products, new developments come out, especially when we run deals, which are occasional, but they're quite valuable.
Okay, good. And then the second question is, you sort of alluded to it a couple times about what you're working on. So what's new coming up that you haven't shared with us so far?
Well, you've got the basic Motor Bunny original, which we're continuing to build out the ecosystem for attachments, for accessories. The more sexually creative experiences we can pack into that user base, the better. But we've also heard from customers that, you know, they've never seen a dick swing around in circles and they want a more lifelike experience. So over the last year, we've rolled out Motor Bunny Buck, which is very similar in form to Motor Bunny Original. But instead of twirl and buzz, it has buck and buzz, which is two different thrusting motions. So it gives you a more lifelike cowgirl type experience. Motor Bunny Buck is link enabled out of the box, so you can remote control it, you can play games with it, all of that. And we've also heard from customers that they want a bigger variety of attachments for the buck. So actually dropping New Year's Day, we have a Doc Johnson VacuLock attachment adapter for the buck. So now users will be able to pick from hundreds of different shapes, sizes, materials, colors. We think it's important to explode that ecosystem as well as quickly as possible.
So do you do things with that attachment you talked about being the Doc Johnson attachment? That means we can put real skin or life skin type attachments on it. Does Motor Bunny itself make real skin type attachment?
Currently, we just offer the TPE, which comes with the starter kits or for the Motor Bunny original, or 100% platinum cured pharma grade silicone attachments, which are available a la carte for the Motor Bunny original or come automatically with the Motor Bunny buck.
When the engineers are designing attachments, I'm sure they're getting feedback from the users. Are they using negative molds also?
Or let me just extend that question. Is MotorBunny open to the possibility of sending women negative mold kits so they can get personalized attachments for their own anatomy?
The development cycle for attachments is a long one. So we take our feedback from our customers, much like people said, I like the lolly, but I want it to be shorter. Done. I like my friend Dick. I want it to be bigger. Done. We're totally open to providing kits so that users can recreate their favorite insertable or whatever they want. We're also in the midst of developing an online tool which will allow you to play around with a CAD program and submit designs in order to be considered for production.
Okay, that is like cutting edge. I'm giving you huge praises right now. I'm bowing down and praying.
She's also grinning from ear to ear.
I mean, because that's, for me as a woman, I understand that a lot of the sex toys out there are designed by engineers and a lot of them by males. And I get that they're doing their best, but the reality is we're all different. And to be able to have a company who's open to the feedback of the customer, the end user, and again, your product is used by everybody. So I'm not just speaking for women, I'm speaking for males too, because the biggest challenge with your anal and vaginal inserts, the space that's there between stimulation points is different for every person, and it may cause adjustments needed. And I think a company that's willing to take in consideration of the needs of the customers is huge. So I huge praise from me.
Yeah, this is big acknowledgement.
That's very nice. I'm happy to hear that. And we're not only open to feedback, we're actively seeking it. You know, we offer product discounts for certain types of reviews. We connect with our super user groups on at least an annual basis to say, hey, what have you got for us? We learned early on that listening to our customers was the clearest path to success in this industry. And the actually only reason that we were able to get a foothold in it is because the current options that people had didn't want to hear any feedback on it. They thought they'd created the perfect product, and they were proud that it hadn't changed in 3 decades. And they would stick their fingers in their ears and say, nope. If you don't like it, then we don't care, because we did it. That was like very helpful for us.
I mean, you know, I made the decision to purchase MotorBunny over your competitor's product for 2 reasons. One, because it seemed like the technology was newer and that it actually offered more power in terms of both the buzz and the twirl options, but also it was cheaper as a product. And so for me, it wasn't even a 5-minute decision. I just looked at it. I was like, well, this looks better. So that was why I bought it. And now that I'm in a sort of 24/7 TPE dynamic with Lady Petra, now she gets to experience it in an ongoing way and has the opportunity to do things like we did over the weekend, which she literally spent 45 minutes playing with all of the attachments and so forth to find exactly the combination of stiffness, of penetration, of vibration, of twirl that led to her having essentially a 30-minute ongoing orgasm, which was quite profound. And so, you know, for us, I mean, she labeled them. She wrote it all down. You know,
She took notes,
right? She actually found the sweet spot for her that'll allow us to use the MotorBunny in our sexual exploration in a way that fulfills her experience of herself as an orgasmic creature.
That's great. And thank you for that feedback. It's familiar to me. A lot of our customers are very price sensitive. And if MotorBunny wasn't around, they would never have experienced a machine like this. So accessibility was built into our DNA early. We want to make sure as many people have these creative sexual experiences that they wouldn't otherwise have as possible. And MotorBunny is not for everybody. Like you said, everybody's different. And Lady Petra, I'm so glad that you found the right spot. A lot of people take a few different rides and a few different attachment experiences to discover how much value this can bring to their bedroom. But sometimes people don't end up finding that sweet spot. And for those people, we don't want them to be punished for experimenting. I think that's great. So we offer a no-hassle 45-day satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like it, ship it back to us, and we'll give you your money back minus $199 for restocking and paper shuffling.
That's completely fair. And everyone's different. You're right. So what I learned on my journey is Safra was very coy in just saying, here we go. We're going to just put the motor bunny out. And while I watch soccer, you're going to find out where your orgasms are. And fun. It totally sounds fun to me. What I learned was the motor bunny is extremely powerful. I know that. However, there needs to be a warm-up phase for me. And I saw some blank attachments, like those. They didn't have nubs on them. There were right. some blank attachments. But I probably should have used those first because I feel like, for me, I need a warm-up phase, and then the motor bunny has more impact. So what I found is in the early phases of trying different attachments, I was like, it feels super great, but it's like almost too much stimulation. And then once I warmed up, then it was like, oh, I need to go back to those and find out what those were like. And it was a great exploration of not being pressured by a scene, but being able to just, I just orgasmed. Okay, I'm going to try something else. I mean, I was completely spent at the end of 45 minutes, but the exploration of the different, whether you're using the wire insert or the heavy insert or the really stiff PVC insert, those all made a difference and they changed the type of sensation I was having. So I just thought it was valuable time.
45 minutes is a long session. Congratulations. We include a lot of different ways that you can tweak the experience because, like you said, a millimeter can matter. And we definitely recommend that people start with a flat attachment and a very low settings across the board, just so you can figure out how to fly this jet before you take off.
That's actually a great.
That's a great analogy.
That's very good, Craig. You know, we really, really appreciated you coming on and sharing the Motor Bunny experience with our listeners. As committed users, we can endorse this product without reservation.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. Endorse. Totally.
That's great.
Yeah. And so just once again, if you can share your website and any email information you want to share with our listeners to reach out.
Sure. You can visit us at motorbunny.com to learn a lot more. That's very simple and easy to remember. If you'd actually like to see how Motor Bunny Link remote control technology works, you can actually control a Motor Bunny from the site. You go to motorbunny.com/remote and put in your email, and it'll put you in control of a motor bunny that is sitting in a warehouse right now that will respond to your directions in real time.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
That's very cool.
That's awesome.
All right, so thank you so much for coming on.
And it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
That's it for today. If you're interested in kinky relationship coaching, online domination, or if you'd like to sponsor the pod to keep it going, please visit our Patreon website at Lady Petra Playground. You can reach me via email at ladypetraplayground@gmail.com. Our music is composed and performed by Roger Ferguson, who can be found at rogerfergusonmusic.com. Till next time, cheers!